It's the Rob Carson Show. Are you ready to be podsmacked? Now, here's Rob Carson.
And here is episode number 169 of the Rob Carson Show podcast. Welcome to the show. Downloadable for free on iTunes. Just look up Rob Carson Show on iHeartRadio as well. Tune in. YouTube as well. All of those things are venues for this podcast. So make sure to check it out. I do appreciate you listening. Also, thank you to the Podcast Radio Network, podcastradionetwork.net. Every night you can hear my show, 7 o'clock Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Central Time. A lot of stuff to get to. Emmys and their ratings. NFL protests are now on the field. Ugliness at an event with Nancy Pelosi. Some more trouble with Fox. Hillary Clinton, a Q&A at one of her book signings that is so cutesy, it's embarrassing. I'm going to share all of the audio and more coming up. I want to thank our sponsors. Dr. Alex Nelson is a chiropractor in Kansas City. He does a great job. He takes care of herniated low back discs using decompression, massage therapy, electrical stimulation available as well, $30 adjustments for veterans and veterans' families. And I'll tell you what, guys, an adjustment by a certified chiropractor is a wonderful thing. I speak from experience. FountainofLifeCairo.com, FountainofLifeCairo.com, 8335 North Congress Avenue in Kansas City. The number, 816-741-4711, 816-741-4711. Okay. So the Emmys did not do very well. It's the lowest rated Emmys in history. 69-year history for the Emmys. Stephen Colbert hosting, fewer than 11.3 million viewers tuned in to watch the very politicized night of television, and it really was. And you do, it would be this with Stephen Colbert, and this is just me, okay? Late night television is meant to make people laugh, and it's become a political hate fest. Johnny Carson never did this. Jay Leno never did this. And this is one of the reasons why a lot of people are just tuning this out. Half the people in the country are saying, yeah, you know, just not interesting. Not interested in seeing this crap. 330 million people, fewer than 5%, tuned in to even watch a minute of the show. So there you go, kids. By the way, another political event was the MTV Music Awards. And they had the lowest ratings they've ever had. Should have just stuck with Madonna and Britney Spears making out, I guess. I don't know. This is kind of troubling for the Rams going back to L.A. Apparently, their game against Washington was in front of a mostly empty stadium. Now, they've got two teams in L.A. now. You've got the Rams and then the Chargers. And they're both going to share a stadium, apparently. This is not a good sign for the city of L.A. And for the Rams. And, you know, I'm sorry. I have a problem with the Rams, you know, moving out of St. Louis. And it's just NFL. Here's the problem with the NFL. Well, there's a few things. First of all, the merch and the tickets are just out of control expensive. All right. It is very expensive to be a fan, particularly if you want to go see a game. The jerseys and all of that, the swag that you buy also is exceedingly expensive. And it doesn't help that you got the protests going on with the national anthem. Seahawks defensive end Michael Bennett, yeah, sat during the national anthem Sunday. And he celebrated a sack Sunday afternoon with a single raised fist. So not only did they protest by not standing during the national anthem, he's raised his fist like the Black Power fist raising of the 1960s. Remember the Olympics? What was that? I'm a toddler. So they are now taking the protest to the field. These privileged millionaires are protesting on the field and becoming more and more irrelevant as time progresses. You know, a little boy who mowed the lawn, the White House, the Rose Garden lawn, a former New York Times reporter who covered labor issues, received an onslaught of criticism on social media for a tweet saying that, and I quote, not sending a great signal on child labor, minimum wage, and occupational safety. Trump White House lets 10-year-old volunteer mow its lawn. The Daily Wire's Joseph Curl said it's the dumbest tweet ever. Bill Kristol of the Weekly Standard said that it was sanctimonious and humorless finger wagging. And honestly, if you didn't expect this, if you didn't see this coming, you are really out of touch with the American dream, entrepreneurship. He also wrote, what this kid wants to do is noble, but sorry, I'm mindful of problems. I've written lots about child labor and kids being hurt by machinery. And then this Tina C. responded, teaching kids to be self-sufficient and the value of a day's work is problematic now, question mark? I guess it is. What a buffoon. You know, pretty honestly, what a buffoon. Former Fox contributor and Trump supporter Scotty Nell Hughes filed a lawsuit Monday against Fox, alleging that they blacklisted her from the network after she accused the host of rape. As according to her lawsuit, she's accusing Fox News of shutting her out of the network after she accused Fox business host Charles Payne of rape. In July, Hughes had claimed she was blacklisted after ending the relationship, but the lawsuit added the rape allegation against Payne. Payne has since admitted to having an affair with Hughes, but denied all the other allegations. Hughes is accusing Payne of coercing her to have intercourse despite her telling him no and stopped during an incident in 2013. Fox News attorney said this, the latest publicity stunt of lawsuit filed by Doug Wigdor has absolutely no merit and is downright shameful. We will vigorously defend this. I don't know. It just seems like Fox had a real sex problem for a while. A harassment problem. You know, can we be adults? I mean, can we just be adults? Can we just work with one another, you know, without feeling like we have to bang the snot out of another employee or harass another employee? I just, honestly, I'm disappointed. And I would assume since it was such, so widespread that some of it had to be true. You know, just, you know, I'm not just going to be a mindless defender of Fox News. A lot of people are. I watch Fox News, don't get me wrong. I hate what they did with The Five. I don't like the show they replaced it with. I don't know. So Hillary Clinton had a book signing event in Washington, D.C. Politics and Prose at a bookstore. It's called Politics and Prose. Lisa Muscatine led a Q&A that was, have you ever had, like, put two sweet and lows in a small cup of coffee? It was so ungodly sweet. It was honestly, don't even know where to go. Started off the discussion talking about hot sauce.
Immediately, whichever one most suits you, you're going to answer. Okay. Ready? Yeah. I do have to say a word about hot sauce first.
Okay.
Help. I mean, I have carried hot sauce since 1992. I just want you to know.
Yeah, what is the hot sauce? What do you carry with you? Is it Tabasco? Is it Cholula? What is it?
It is true. And there were people who were actually accusing me of just making that up.
No, it was pandering. You were with a black radio show, and they asked if you carried hot sauce. And she essentially said, would it help? And that's what this was all about.
It's not made up. No, it's not made up. But I do spend probably more time than I should in the book talking about hot sauce. So,
oh, boy.
Anybody want any recommendations? Just let me know. Okay. It's true. For as long as I've known you, hot sauce has been in your purse.
Okay. There you go. So, well, great. Cool. I cannot wait to get that book and find out about hot sauce. Then we got into the really saccharine portion of the interview, which is the ultimate lowball you could possibly imagine interviewing someone, and that is word association. All right, word association is a tool for idiots and people who aren't prepared to do a real interview. And here is a little bit of that.
We can all vouch for her. Okay, you ready? So two words, you got to, okay. It's going to get progressively a little harder. But we're not going to do too many of them, okay? So, tea or coffee? Coffee.
And listen to the crowd go wild. She said coffee. Woohoo.
Beach or mountains?
What?
Beach or mountains? Beach. Okay.
Yeah, it's going
shower
crazy.
Shower or bath?
Oh, my God. That was. Listen to how funny that was. Listen.
Shower or bath?
Well, these are all really unfair, and that is particularly unfair.
These are easy.
Because, I mean, really, it depends on how much time you have.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, Pilates or yoga?
Yoga.
Vodka or Chardonnay?
Again, it depends on how much time you have.
And the crowd goes wild. This is the funniest thing ever. My God, it's like you're at a Kiss concert. What? Wow. I would be embarrassed if I was conducting this interview. And I would be embarrassed to answer the questions.
History or mystery?
Oh, God.
Oh, historical mysteries. How was that? Okay.
Putin or Trump?
Yeah, well, I have to take that under advisement for the following.
Well, it depends on how much time you have. You should have used that there.
Following reasons. I ran against both of them.
Listen to the crowd hoot and holler. I mean, have you ever cheered so much when so little was said?
Excellent. I was going to say Comey or Comey, who you also ran against.
That didn't really make any sense. Whatever. Okay. Some people paid thousands of dollars to be there. Get a selfie. Nancy Pelosi had a pro-DACA press conference in San Francisco. Several dozen young immigrants shouted down the Democrat. And they were, you know, this is what we've become in the country. We are, we have vile mobs active in major cities every weekend, every day. You've got protests going on at Georgia Tech. There was a 21-year-old trans student, Scout Schultz, approached campus police with a knife and said, shoot me, shoot me, shoot me. So they shot him, and he died, and there was a riot, and a police car was burned. You've got St. Louis being set on fire again. And you've got these demonstrations and speeches at events where people attempting to speak are shouted down. Here's a little bit of the protest while Nancy Pelosi was trying to speak.
The event at San Francisco's College Track in the Bayview District quickly went off the rails Monday morning when a group of 50 to 60 immigrant youth confronted Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi. Charging up the crowd, claims from Capitol Hill that Minority Leader Pelosi is crafting a deal with President Trump, trading DACA protections for more border security.
Making sure Nancy Pelosi hears.
Imagine that. Talking about border security. Wow.
We don't need to just fight for dreams.
Every other country in the world has border security except for us.
We don't need to fight only for DACA recipients, that we need to be here for all 11 million undocumented people in the United States.
The people here say they want a better deal that doesn't involve concessions on immigrants' rights. Pelosi told us today that ignores the reality of a Republican-led Congress.
America more American, and we want comprehensive immigration. I'd rather have that, of course, than just one piece of it, the dream bill. But we don't have that opportunity right now.
Some in the Twitter universe relish the irony of this situation. Karen noted, quote, spider caught in her own web. And Kim, who identifies as a conservative Christian mom, questioned, "How do you like being on the other end of hateful, ungrateful brats? You helped create this problem. Happy?"
Think about how much the country's changed in the last 8 years. Think about how much it's changed. The day of the inauguration, there was a riot in Washington, D.C. An uncivil protest the next day. Foul-mouthed protest, the Women's March. Every weekend, there's a different march. There's a different riot. There's Antifa. Things have changed. Here's a little bit more as Nancy Pelosi was called a liar.
"You have the audacity. You have the audacity. You have been fighting deportation."
"Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. You do not. You don't know what you're talking about.
You are a liar. You are a liar. You are a liar."
A shrieking, uncivil mob. Every one of them should have been dragged out of there. And I don't particularly like to support Nancy Pelosi. She was speaking. This type of behavior has no place in civil society. It just doesn't. Honestly, shrieking uncivil mob. And this is going on all over the country. I've got some university madness I'm going to get up to in just a second. More of this kind of stuff. Some very scary statistics about young people in college and how they feel about free speech as well. They don't get it. they don't get it. Toys R Us filed bankruptcy, Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. They had a lot of debt. And, of course, brick-and-mortar stores are struggling with stores like Amazon. I spent a lot of time at Toys R Us when my kids were growing up. My daughter's 12. My son is almost 18. He'll be 18 in November. We spent a lot of time in Toys R Us, even if just to go there and just walk around, even just to see what was new there, to go sit in the battery-powered cars in the back of the store. Or bounce a ball, or a Lego. Dear Lord, did I buy some Lego? I bought a lot of Lego. Operations outside the United States and Canada are not included, by the way. 255 licensed stores and a joint venture partnership in Asia. They're not part of the proceedings, but they need to reorganize, I guess. They have 1,600 Toys R Us and Babies R Us stores. And maybe it's they go bankrupt because I'm not shopping there anymore. That's probably part of it. But I did, oh, man, bought a lot of stuff. Chip and Joanna Gaines are getting some heat. They've launched an exclusive lifestyle and home goods brand, and they're putting it in Target. A lot of people on social media not happy because these guys are Christians and Target's policies lean way left. They announced last year the transgender people can use the bathroom and fitting rooms that best align with their gender identity. That cost them a lot of money. Many people argued it's against Christian values. The American Family Association has even gone so far as to boycott Target, urging others to sign a petition promising to do the same. So, Chip and Joanna Gaines. They've also got a line of paint I saw at Ace Hardware. They're taking over the world. They're going to be the first lifestyle billionaires. They are going to be the first lifestyle billionaires. And what they've done for Waco, Texas is unbelievable. Tourism to Waco is up like 25%. People want to go down there and see the silos. They bought some silos and they made it into a bakery and a home goods store and all sorts of stuff. But they're doing it right. They are doing it right. Oh, remember Evergreen State University? Remember Brett Weinstein or Weinstein? He was the guy who they were doing this day without white people. Normally, one day a year, all the black people, students and faculty, leave the campus. This year, they had the audacity to say, we want white people to leave. So it wasn't them voluntarily. It was just saying, you've got to leave. Brett Weinstein, who's a very left of center individual, was confronted by students, threatened. The students took over the library. I literally held the president hostage, behaved like a bunch of animals, carried around baseball bats, destroyed property, threatened people with different viewpoints. The university's paying for it now. They settled out of court for $500,000 with the professor. He said that the school permitted, cultivated, and perpetuated a racially hostile and retaliatory work environment. The day of absence was, of course, to expel all white people from campus, so non-white students could have a safe space to talk about oppression. You know, it's not 1968. This whole race movement on campus that somehow it's worse than it's ever been is a joke. It's an absolute sham. It is an excuse for failure. It is a attempt to blame other groups for your personal failings. And it is a way to become a victim, even though you've never been victimized. And if you're going to Evergreen State University, a very expensive university, by the way, very expensive university, you're not a victim. Not a victim. You sure you're ready for all this campus madness? Because I tell you what, there's a bunch of it here today. There is a bunch of it here today. Listen to this. Yale University said last Thursday it's replacing names such as terms such as freshmen and upperclassmen with more gender-neutral phrasing like first year and upper-level student. This is just amazing. It's all in their first-year handbook and undergraduate regulations that they have there. They're modernizing their correspondence. Quote, it's really for public formal correspondence and formal publications. We're not trying to tell people what language to use in their everyday casual conversations. This, according to Marvin Chun, Yale's college dean, we're not trying to be language police. Oh, yes, you are. He says the initiative is part of an effort to be more inclusive, except for if you're a man. Yale is not the first to adopt the more modern approach to its terminology. University of North Carolina stopped using the term freshman in 2009. Emory did the same in 2015. Other Ivy League schools such as Cornell, Columbia, and Dartmouth have also adopted first year and use first year. So there you go. Did they replace the manhole covers? Are they personhole covers? No, seriously. I remember I was in Columbia, Missouri. That's where I started in radio. There's a very left-leaning university. It used to be a women's-only school. I'm not sure if it still is. Stevens College. They took the word man out of the phrase woman. So instead of woman, they spelled it M-Y-N. That's where this started. That was 25 years ago. They're renaming buildings and streets and all that, you know, and they're tearing down monuments. In Dallas, the Dallas Independent School District took up the matter of renaming some of its schools. They identified 21 with some sort of Confederate tie. Superintendent Michael Hinojosa noted four schools were priorities. William L. Cabell, I'm not sure who that is. Stonewall Jackson, Robert E. Lee, and Albert Sidney Johnston. Those had to be changed. They did also list the names of three prominent founding fathers: Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, and Benjamin Franklin. The DISD board member Justin Marshall, at the behest of his many constituents, posted on Facebook the list of schools under consideration. Marshall noted he did not support changing the name of the only school that's in his district, Ben Franklin Middle School. Quote, I will not support a name change for Franklin, since Benjamin Franklin clearly had many accomplishments that formed the basis for why the school was named after him. I don't believe the school was named after Franklin to send a signal of oppression and control. For the most part, reaction to this list were negative. Sam Houston, William B. Travis, now we oppose the Texas Revolution. James S. Hogg was never part of the Civil War. Please make sure you guys study up on your history. This is all on social media. Quote, so no founding fathers of Texas or the USA. What's next? Remove the name LBJ Highway because of the poor decision to continue the Vietnam War. Travis and Bowie, died at the Alamo, and Houston was drummed out of office because he opposed secession. What are the grounds for inclusion on this list? Political correctness. Political correctness, victimology. A hating of the founding. I could go on and on. New study says that college students can't handle free speech. Washington Post columnist Catherine Rampell perfectly summarized the danger of equating words with violence, which is what they were saying at Berkeley when Ben Shapiro spoke last weekend, which, by the way, they needed $600,000 for security, and they were screaming that speech is violence. Back to Catherine Rampell, if speech is violence, then violence becomes a justifiable response to speech. That's true. That's the logic that leads 20% of college undergraduates to believe that violence is a justifiable response to a controversial speaker, according to a survey by the Brookings Institute. These children should have been spanked when they were children. 44% of undergraduates don't think the First Amendment protects so-called hate speech, which on campus is speech that you hate. It has nothing to do with hate speech, just speech that you hate and disagree with. 51% think it's inappropriate to shout over controversial, appropriate, I should say, to shout over controversial speakers so they can't be heard. 62% of students think the First Amendment requires a school to bring in a speaker of the opposite viewpoint to balance out a controversial speaker. Okay, that's the fairness doctrine. 53% of students think colleges are supposed to foster a positive learning environment by prohibiting certain offensive speech rather than allowing for the expression of all viewpoints. That's just frightening. That's just an illness. I mean, that's an illness. There's something wrong. When did this happen? Are there parents teaching them this? I get a lot of heat from my friends when I say snowflake generation, and they are. They're snowflakes. They're little snowflakes. And they can't handle an opposing view, so they'll shout it down. They'll throw a temper tantrum. In some cases, but these are adults, technically, chronologically. They don't behave like them. But they're a destructive, vile, violent mob. When did we become this? And Berkeley, they call themselves the birthplace of the free speech movement. I made this point before. That's a joke. It's always been a bastion of leftist speech. That's just it. And the birthplace of the free speech movement was Philadelphia. And here's another thing. I love students. Last week, Black Lives Matter, this leader of Black Lives Matter, issued a list of demands. And these college students, they issue demands to university faculty, presidents, and they have no currency. You know, it'd be like going into my boss, and I'm doing a poor performance at work and demanding something. You know, you've got to have the currency. You've got to have the clout. These are children in school, and as far as I'm concerned, they should be thrown out of school. University of Pittsburgh students from the Fossil Free Pit Coalition and United Students Against Sweatshops. They needed that group, right? Okay, there's a group of United Students for them. They banded together last Thursday for a rally for transparency, which involved a protest with at least 15 demands for the president or the chancellor, Patrick Gallagher. Here are some of them that they're demanding. All student workers be paid a minimum living wage of $15 an hour. This is why your tuition goes up, kids. This is why your tuition goes up. That the university freezes tuition hikes and advocates for federal cancellation of student debt and free tuition. So advocates for federal cancellation of debt, free tuition. Okay. That the university divest its financial holdings in fossil fuels. That the university declares itself a sanctuary campus. That gender-neutral bathrooms are accessible in every campus building, that the university promises a real commitment to diversity, diversifying the student body in class, race, gender, sexuality, investing in cultural organizations rather than merely advertising itself as a diverse institution. So this means white people don't apply, straight white people, particularly if you're a guy. That the university prioritizes and provides affordable housing for all student tenants. So they want a $15 minimum wage. They want to get rid of the tuition. And how's the university going to keep its doors open? that all campus police are disarmed and that city cops are banned from campus. Yeah, okay, you're gonna. What happens if there's a mass shooting on campus? You idiots. That the university commits to switching to renewable energy and that Chancellor Gallagher take a 10% pay cut to hike employee pay. So he's an employee, by the way. I thought you should know. Almost done with the campus. Almost done with the campus madness. Brown University plans to offer segregated events to its black students and female Muslim students. This is another thing that's pretty interesting, that in its quest to fight racism, they support segregation. The university received $30,000 grant from the Association of American Colleges and University, which represents liberal arts schools, to create a campus center whose mission is to break down racial hierarchies and create a positive narrative about race in the community, even though we've been having the narrative for years and years and years. They need to have it again. It's going to go towards hosting racially and religiously segregated dinner discussion groups. Those discussions are being led by Brown University chaplain, Reverend Janet Cooper Nelson, clearly a racist. One group will be for black students and the other will be for Muslim women on campus. Nelson told the Daily she hopes that Muslim women's dinner will allow the women to engage in topics such as intersection of race, Islam, and, of course, gender fluidity. Gender fluidity. Hold on a second. I'm a woman. Okay, now I'm back to being a man. That's how easy it is. Last spring, Harvard hosted its first ever blacks-only student graduation ceremony. A number of other universities hosted similar segregated graduation events. Last winter, students at the University of Michigan demanded a no whites space allowed. A year ago, California State University, Los Angeles, offered segregated housing for black students. Might as well do drinking fountains, right? Might as well do drinking fountains. Finally, students at a sociology class, San Diego State University, can earn extra credit if they take a quiz to determine their level of white privilege. This is just meant to make white kids feel bad about being white kids. That's the only reason this exists. 20 questions that aim to illustrate that racial privilege is one form of privilege. Honestly, what the hell? Here are some of the questions, okay? Keep score, kids. It's not really, they're statements. I can choose I can choose blemish cover or bandages in flesh color and have them more or less match my skin. So bandages, last time I looked, band-aids do not match my skin color. I can be late to a meeting without having the lateness reflect on my race. Okay. I am made not acutely aware that my shape, bearing, or body odor will be taken as a reflection of my race. I can roll in a class at college and be sure that the majority of my professors will be of my race. And that's more white people go to college, more Asian people go to college. That's just the way it is. But more black kids drop out of high school. Fewer black kids go to college. That's just the way it is. Ultimately, they won't end up being professors if they don't go to college. At the end of the quiz, students were also made aware of other forms of privileges like gender, sexual orientation, class, and religion. Students were instructed by Professor Elliott to add up their scores with a higher score, meaning they had a higher level of privilege, and a lower score, meaning they had a lower level of privilege. To earn the extra credit, students were told to also answer a series of questions given to them by the professor. They are, were you surprised by your score, or did it confirm what you already knew? Why is privilege normally invisible, and what does it feel like to make it visible? Do you think the exercise is different for white students than for students of color, for black students than for Asians? This is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Now listen to this. Listen to this. Faculty lounge gobbledygook from the professor. Only through processes, yes, that allow us to share intersubjectivity, weigh all of our perspectives according to amount of shareable empirical evidence, can we approximate an objective understanding of our society? It may never be perfect. In fact, I am sure we will always be improving, but it is a better response if we are truly seekers of what is truth, what is reality in a society that values fairness. Our injustices that are institutionalized are often made visible. What a giant load of crap. San Diego State University College Republican President Brandon Jones says it's another attempt by the left and Professor Elliott to divide America. And he's right. And he's right. 11% of us have a plan in case there's a zombie apocalypse, even though zombies don't exist. It's according to YouGov. Seriously. Here are the top things you need to do during a zombie apocalypse, which won't happen because there are no such thing as zombies. Try to team up with other random survivors. 6% of people knew that. Go out and start killing zombies, 13%. Meet up with family members and close friends, 15% knew how to do that. Find weapons, 23%. Relocate, especially if you're in a big city with the potential of more zombies, 29%. Gather supplies like food, water, and first aid, 43%. Find a good place to hole up where it's hard for the zombies to get you, 45%. Do have a plan, and said that's part of it. Again, because zombies don't exist. So a very misguided woman went after a veteran with PTSD. The veteran was in a restaurant, and he brought his dog with him. And this is a therapy dog. And this woman went off on this guy. This has gone viral. I'll post it on my Facebook page at Rob Carson Show. In fact, I know it's up there right now. The veteran standing there with the Great Dane, and I work with an organization called FISH, that Friends or Service of Heroes, that gives therapy dogs to veterans with PTSD. Here's the beginning of the attack by this very misguided woman.
What do you want to do about it? He's alive because he fought for our country. You know?
This is the me generation. It's nasty to me. That's all that matters. It's nasty to me. I'm not for hitting people, but this woman needs to be smacked upside the head.
It's enough.
I didn't think so. What do you want to do?
Hey.
Nothing, so shut the hell up.
Hey, why don't you just calm down for 30 seconds?
Nothing, so shut the hell up. Like I said,
you just stubs.
This is just me. I mean, unhinged. And what's the show been about today? Incivility, right? A lot of incivility going on in the country right now. Here's a woman. It's disgusting to me. That's all that matters. An animal, actually, would be the correct way to say that.
If it is here, it should be disclosed at a sectional area.
You need to go get
your No death. It's still what is my opinion. Right. And it's not going to change.
Your opinion,
you ain't going to change it. You. None of y'all going to change it. I think it's gross.
I mean, honestly, how can you be? I really hope, and I think 300,000 people have seen this thing so far. I hope she is shamed. I hope she has to hide in her apartment to avoid the shame. Because incivil, selfish, didn't even know why the dog. Would she do that to a blind person? Probably. Denny's is defending its sausage mascot. Have you seen the sausage mascot? It looks like a piece of poop. That's what it looks like. So they've put this tweet out. It has a picture of bacon sitting by sausage on a curb. And the sausage says, "I'm just a sausage. I can't help the way I look." Character's been around since 2014 and has only recently become the target of online bullying. Online bullying of a cartoon sausage. Yes, I guess it's possible. The chief marketing director said that they're not going to change it. He looks exactly how a breakfast sausage should look. It looks like a piece of poop. That's okay. Whatever. Nothing to get too upset about, I don't think. Finally, Merriam-Webster's New Words, which is their way of staying relevant, obviously. You know, think about spell check, what it's done for looking up words, meanings. And I look up words and meanings periodically, just to make sure that I'm using them correctly. You know, if I've got a word that I'm going to use, I'm trying to make a point, and I want to make sure that it's exactly what I want to say. And then, you know, the spell check thing. I try not to use spell check, but I do. I do occasionally have to look it up. I like to consider myself to be a good speller. So 250 new words in the dictionary. Here are some of them. Alt-right is one they've added to it, which is not really a word. It's hyphenated two words. Sext is a part of it. I'm surprised it's taken that long. Hangry. Okay. I guess that's a version of hungry. I don't use it. Superfood. Dad bod, which is two words. Dad bod. Dabbing. Froyo. Ransomware. Pre-game. That's not a dog whistle, which is two words. Dog whistle. Troll. And troll's already in the dictionary. So it's a little goblin that lives under a bridge. But I guess we're talking about internet trolls. So you got to have a special internet troll. One, I guess. As my phone rings in the background. Yeah, not very professional of me. And finally, hive mind. I don't even know what that is. So that was in the new words in the Webster's Dictionary. I want to thank you guys very much for listening, particularly the Podcast Radio Network, podcastradionetwork.net. Every night, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard, 6 o'clock Central, listen to this podcast. You can also, of course, download it on iTunes, iHeartRadio. It's also available on YouTube. Just look up Rob Carson Show. See, it's about branding. I'm also on Facebook at Rob Carson Show and Twitter at Rob Carson. I want to thank our sponsors, particularly Dr. Alex Nelson, Fountain of Life, Cairo.com. If you're in Kansas City and you need chiropractic treatment, definitely consider Fountain of Life, Cairo. In the meantime, guys, God bless. Take care. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next time.
Thanks for listening to The Rob Carson Show. Friend him on Facebook at Carson Show, on Twitter at Rob Carson, and on Instagram, I think Facebook and Twitter are enough for now. We'll see you soon.